All right, well, good morning once again to everyone. I want to wish you all here a happy Father's Day, and glad that we are able to be here together and worship the Lord together on this day. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. I was getting ready this morning, and it kind of dawned on me as I got up that it was Father's Day. A lot of times I kind of don't remember these things as I'm kind of going throughout my week. And I was like, wow, maybe I should have gotten the Father's Day sermon ready. And then I got it, and I was like, oh, well, you know, it just is what it is. But then I got a text this morning, and I'm not going to say who it was from. But, you know, it basically said, you know, it's the man's job to keep the family together and do things together. Can you please do a sermon about how important it is for the family to spend time together? And I said, you know what? Yes, I can. Yes, I can. And what more appropriate time and day to do that than today, on a day when we are thinking about the role of fathers in our homes and the blessings that fathers are in our homes. And so this morning I want to talk about that for just a little bit. And there's a few verses that came to my mind immediately whenever I began thinking about that this morning. The fact of the matter is, we need strong men. We need strong men. We live in a society of weak men. Maybe that's a little shocking for you to hear me say this morning. Maybe it's a little convicting. I don't know. I don't know how true that is in the church. Certainly less so, in my judgment, than in society at large. But that doesn't mean we can't do better. We live in a society of men who are not doing what they are supposed to do, who are not doing what they were designed by God to do. And design. And we are told what we are supposed to do. God designed us this way. It is not by accident. God designed us men to be strong, both physically we are supposed to be the rocks, their anchors, their leaders. We are designed to be follow. We are failing our families, and we are failing our churches. A job to do. And what Scripture shows us is that when we fail at that, disaster inevitably ends. Back. More than that, the church needs. And our families, our wives, and our children strong. Look up to that they about how to be godly, how to serve. 1 Peter chapter 3:7. The Apostle Peter is the relationship between the husband and the wife. And he says in verse 1 of that chapter, 1 Peter chapter 3, likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives when they see. likewise, husbands, live with your wives, understanding, giving honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, heirs with you of life. There's a certain way that men and women are supposed to interact. He's saying that there is a certain way that husbands and wives are supposed to relate to one another. That wives are supposed to be subject. That husbands are to live with their wives in an He's not saying that wives are slaves and that husbands are domineering. In fact, quite the opposite. Saying that this is a relationship where you, but within that relationship, there are clearly differences that have been set forth from the very beginning. Formation of Adam and Eve. Well, yes, wives are to their husbands, but in turn, husbands are to live with them in a way that understands their role and their sensitivity. There, yes, the weak. To their sensitivity. With that in mind, I want you to turn. I want you to begin reading with. Now the serpent was. The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit. Shall you touch it, lest you die?'" The serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. The man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden and was afraid because I was." I commanded you not to eat. He said, "The woman who gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree." God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and of the beasts of the field, and on your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. And I'll put enmity between the woman and her offspring and your offspring. He will bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you will bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten the of which I commanded you, shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles you shall eat the plants filled by the sweat of your bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken." Problem here. What happens? Ultimately, the reason that this happens, yes, it's Satan. Yes, it's Eve. But ultimately, where does the buck stop? With Adam. Why? It was his job. It was his job to lead. It was his job to say no. It was his job to. Paul writes, "Let a woman..." It just simply is reinforcing the notion of male leadership. Why? Why is that the case, Paul? "For Adam was formed first, then Eve." It's about the order of creation. Adam was formed first, and then Eve. In verse 14, "And Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor." What's the problem here? Adam was formed first. He was the leader. He failed in his leadership. Thus the fall. The result of woman usurping her role and of man failing to live up to his is disaster. And that remains the case throughout any other stories in Scripture that we could name. Samson and Delilah, one that comes to mind. And we have many other examples of men in Scripture not doing what they're supposed to do. David comes to mind. And in Bathsheba. And then you go on down, and rest of the, David was not that great of a father from what I can tell. He had sons trying to usurp his authority. You have Eli and his worthless sons. You have many fathers that we see in Scripture as bad examples. The example of what not to do. And so, in contrast to this, what does Paul encourage us to do? Well, I'm reminded of 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. Here Paul writes, "Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men." Strong. "Let all that you do be done in love." Now here in the context, obviously, Paul is admonishing them on how to be good Christians, generally speaking, but he's using an analogy to show them what that looks like. So the analogy is equally applicable. If you're going to be a good Christian, then you need to do this. You need to be strong, you need to be watchful, you need to stand firm in the faith, and you need to act like men. What does that mean? It means you got to stand up and do what's right. You need to be a leader. So the first thing he says here is that we need to be watchful. All right, so let's try and apply this then to our situation here today. If we are supposed to be watchful as men, what does that mean that we should be doing? It means that we have responsibility to protect. The idea is that of a watchman, someone who is up in the guard tower of the fortified city, and they're out watching for danger, watching for the army that's coming in or the thief that's trying to slip in under the wall. They are watching out. Being steadfast, it means being immovable. And my question is, when are we going to stand up and start doing what God expects us to do? Stand firm. Don't back down. Don't give in. When people tell us to stop being this way, don't give in. When are we going to start being leaders? the text that I got this morning, right? The man's job to keep the family together and do things together. How important it is for the family to spend time together. I didn't have time this morning, unfortunately, to go and look up all the statistics that I could on the dangers of fatherlessness in the home today, but I've looked at them before, and it's alarming. How much more likely it is for children, especially young men, to end up abandoning their own families, to be adulterers. On down the list it goes of bad behavior, so much of it. You can go look up the statistics yourself and trace back to fatherlessness. We are responsible men for our families, and we're going to answer in judgment for the way that we handled that responsibility. We better take it seriously. This is the responsibility God has given us. And so what are we doing to stand firm in the faith? What are we doing to make sure that the Bible is being taught to our children in our homes? What are we doing to make sure that they understand that God is a priority in our lives? What are we doing to make sure that they understand that they need to be reading their Bibles and that we need to be at services? What are we doing to make sure that there is no other option? No, we are getting up and we're going to church on Sunday morning. That's what we do. That we're making the sacrifices necessary to put God first in our lives. That we're spending time together as families. That we're making those sacrifices as men to say, you know, I'm going to put off this thing that I want to do for the sake of my family. That we're spending time together and we're having game nights and we're eating together at the table for dinner. And that we're praying before our meals. And that we are having game nights and we're doing all these things together. We're going to church as a family. That's our job. You want to make sure that your kids grow up to do what's right? You want to make sure that your kids grow up to stay members of the Lord's church and to be baptized? You focus on your family. Even when you're tired and you get home from work and you don't feel like it, and you just want to sit on the couch and recline in your lazy boy and watch TV and veg out, your kids need you. Sacrifice. That's what being a father is about. It's about sacrifice. I saw this commercial the other day. Rarely is there a good commercial anymore. But there was a commercial I saw, tribute to fathers, right? And it was showing all these dads actually doing things with their kids. Teaching them how to do them, working in the garden, working on the truck, working on the, you know, building something, whatever, doing all these things. And it said, doing. That's what dadding is all about. We got to spend time with them. We got to teach them all these things, right? Teach them about personal financial responsibility. Teach them how to work on the car. Teach them that they need to go out and do and work in the yard. Teach them about the value of hard work and honesty. We need to do things with our kids. Teach them how to play sports. Teach them how to teach a Bible class. Teach them how to lead songs. Teach them how to prepare a lesson. Teach them anything. Your kids will resent you if they grow up thinking that you did not spend enough time with them or that you didn't care about them. And women resent. Maybe they don't realize it. They resent. They resent lazy men. It leads to divorce. Why? Because that's the way God designed us. He designed men to be leaders, to be providers, and to be protectors. And he designed women to look for men and desire men who are going to protect them and provide for them and lead them. It's hardwired in us. That's the way God made us. You wonder why we have problems in society today? It's because women don't know what they're supposed to be looking for because they haven't seen it. They need to see it in their fathers. We need to stand firm in the faith. We need to act like men. Now, what does that not mean? Well, it doesn't mean being overly harsh. It certainly doesn't mean being abusive. It certainly doesn't mean being domineering. It means being gentle and loving and kind, but also stern. Being a disciplinarian. Being serious. Being serious about our faith. Being strong. What does that mean? Does it necessarily mean being physical and huge and muscular? Or does it mean doing the right thing? Does it mean being a leader? Does it mean being a godly man? I believe that's exactly what it means. But does it also mean taking your health seriously so that you can be there for your kids and their grandkids? Yeah, I think it does. But ultimately, it means what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6. When he says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Here in this context, as Paul is talking about, again, the husband and wife relationship, he moves on to the relationship between children and parents. And he says in verse 1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And honor your father and mother, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land." But then he says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, and bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." That is your job. Children have a responsibility to obey their parents. But parents have a responsibility likewise to be someone who is worthy of being obeyed, to be someone that your parents want, that your children want to look up to you and do what you say and obey you because they love you. And that's how we understand our relationship between God the Father. Is when we understand that He loves us, He provides for us, He cares for us, He wants the best for us, and so what do? We love Him in return and we want to serve Him and do what He asks of us. We want to cultivate that same kind of relationship with our own children by doing the same kinds of things that God Himself does. And so his point here is you don't invoke your children's obedience by being overly harsh with them, by domineering them, by beating them, but by provoking them to anger. You do it with proper discipline and instruction in the Lord, by bringing them to understand what is right and wrong based on God's word, by bringing them to understand how that they can live a better life if they just do the things that we show them are right from God's word, and by living those things out ourselves so that they see the example in us and that we're not all just talk, but that we also walk the walk. Our job as men is to make sure, number one responsibility is to make sure that our children also grow up to serve God. That's what this verse is all about. And so, men, do your job for your kids. That doesn't mean being their friend all the time. You know, I don't want to go into too much, but honestly, there are times I wish my dad had been a little bit more strict with me. And that's weird to say, looking back on it. But there are times when I wish that he had done more. I'm not trying to speak against my dad in any way. I know some of you know him. We all struggle as parents to know what the right thing to do is. It's hard. It's the hardest job you will ever have. And we all make mistakes. But But when God says, bring your children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, He means it. We have a job to do. And if we are weak, and if we are lazy, and if we are not watchful, and if we do not stand firm, if we don't do what God designed us to do, to lead, provide, and protect, then we will lose our children. And so what are we going to do to stand up in defiance of society and what they tell us that we should be? Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Thank you for listening this morning. I'm talking to myself just as much as anybody else. Because I'm a dad with three young children. I'm wondering how in the world I'm supposed to raise them in the world that we live in. It scares me to death. Hopefully, with each other's help, we can make it. And so this morning, in closing, I just want to say that if you're here and you're not a Christian, that there is a Father up there that loves you, that wants you to be part of His family, who, even though you may have been living in sin, wants to adopt you, who wants to forgive you, who wants to cleanse you of your sin, who offered up His only Son as a sinless sacrifice on the cross, that you could live eternally with Him. That's a gift that is unimaginable, insurpassable, and yet He gave it so that you could be His child. So if there's anyone here this morning that needs to respond to the gospel, I want you to do so now while together we stand and while we sing.